परमहंस परिवचाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस इसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवचाकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की, नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधारा श्रीवासति गौर भक्त वृंद की, श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन धाम की, श्री वृंदावन नवदीप मायापुर धाम की, श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की, गंगा माई जमुना माई की, तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की, बृहद मृदंगा की, सामवेद भक्तवृंद की, गौर प्रेमानंदी, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा नमो विष्णु राय कृष्ण श्री राधे कृष्ण श्री राधानाथ स्वामी के नाम में ग्रंथराष्ट्रीय भागवतम की ट्रांसलेटर बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन. Thank you so much, each and every one of you, for coming here today and giving your most valuable time. I seek all of your blessings, and everyone who may be present on the internet, all the senior Vaishnavas, I'm so, so, so very grateful to your time. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.10.6. And we just read Chatushloki in the last chapter, and now we start with 10 types of 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this today is the topic is Nirodha, which is winding up of the universal form. So we'll start. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठकी. ओम कैन वी से टुगेदर ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. वन्स अगेन आई ऑफर ऑल ओबेसेंसेस टू ऑल द असेंबल डिवोटीज हियर एंड सिंसियरली बेग फॉर योर ब्लेसिंग्स विच आर मच नीडेड सो अवर टाइम इज कैन बी यूटिलाइज्ड. वञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. निरोधोऽज्ञानुशयनं आत्मनः सशक्तिभिः मुक्तिर्हित्वान्यथा रूपं स्वरूपेण व्यवस्थितिभिः व्यवस्थितिः निरोधास्यानुशयनम् आत्मनः सह शक्तिभिः मुक्तिर्हित्वान्यथा रूपं स्वरूपेण व्यवस्थितिः. Synonym and translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nirodha, please repeat, Nirodha, the winding up of the cosmic manifestation, Asya, of His, Anushayanam, the lying down of the mystic slumber, of the Purusha incarnation Mahavishnu in mystic slumber. Atmanaha, of the living entities, Saha, along with Shaktibihi, with the energies, Muktihi, liberation, Hitva, giving up, Anyataha, otherwise, Rupam, form, Sarupena, in constitutional form, vyavasthitihi, permanent situation. Translation, the merging of the living entity, please repeat, the merging of the living entity along with his conditional living tendency With the misting lying down of the Mahavishnu, is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity. After he gives up the changeable, gross and subtle material bodies. Again by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As we have discussed several times, there are two types of living entities. Most of them are ever liberated or nitya muktas, while some of them are ever conditioned. The ever conditioned souls are apt to develop a mentality of lording over the material nature, and therefore the material cosmic creation is manifested to give the ever conditioned souls two kinds of facilities. One facility is that the conditioned soul can act according to his tendency to lord it over the cosmic manifestation, and the other facility gives the conditioned soul a chance to come back to Godhead. So after the winding up of the cosmic manifestation, most of the conditioned souls merge into the existence of the Mahavishnu, Personality of Godhead, lying in his mystic slumber, to be created again in the next creation. So here I'll pause for 1 second. We read that there are two kinds of living entities, nitya muktas, nitya baddhas, and out of the one that go back to Godhead, they are great, but one who stay back, Krishna, they wind up in the body of Mahavishnu. Back to here, but some of the conditioned souls who follow the transcendental sound in the form of Vedic literatures and are thus able to go back to Godhead attain spiritual and original bodies after quitting the conditional, gross and subtle material bodies. The material conditional bodies develop out of the living entities' forgetfulness of their relationship with Godhead. And during the course of the cosmic manifestation, the conditioned souls are given a chance to revive their original status of life with the help of revealed scriptures. Again, they are given a chance to revive their conditional status, original status of life, with the help of revealed scriptures, so mercifully compiled by the Lord in his different incarnations. Reading or hearing of such transcendental literatures helps one become liberated even in the conditional state of material existence. So reading and hearing of this transcendental literatures is very helpful. And then it says, all the Vedic literatures aim at devotional service to the personality of Godhead. And as soon as one is fixed upon this point, he at once becomes liberated from conditional life. So as soon as our mind is fixed upon the literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, he at once becomes liberated from the conditional life. The material gross and subtle forms are simply due to the conditioned soul's ignorance. And as soon as he is fixed in the devotional service of the Lord, he becomes eligible to be freed from the conditioned state. The devotion, this is a very important sentence. This devotional service is transcendental attraction for the Supreme on account of his being the source of all pleasing humors. Once again, this devotional service is transcendental attraction for the Supreme on account of his being the source of all pleasing humors. Everyone is after some pleasure of humor for enjoyment, but does not know the supreme source of all attraction. Raso vaisaha rasami evayam labdhva van nandi bhavati. The Vedic hymns inform everyone about the supreme source of all pleasure. The unlimited fountainhead of all pleasure is the personality of Godhead. And one who is fortunate enough to get this information through transcendental literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam becomes permanently liberated to occupy his proper place in the kingdom of God. Jai. So this purport, it started with Nirodha. Word Nirodha means winding up of the manifestation. So we know that Srimad Bhagavatam, two first two cantos are the lotus feet of the Lord, third and four are the leg, fifth belly, chest, seven and eight are right and left arms, right? So I was thinking seven is Poshanam, which is the Ishanubhakta, I'm sorry, the science of God, right? So that may be right hand. Nirodha is maybe the left hand, because it is winding up of the cosmic manifestation. So this is my just observation based on what is written. Please take it with a grain of salt. And then I was thinking, what am I going to speak about this merging business? Only thing I know is Sayujya Mukti, Nirvana a little bit. The only joke I know about Nirvana and Buddhism is that on your birthday, this is in a birthday card, I'm not thinking about you. This is a birthday card. Buddhist writes this birthday card. On this, your birthday, I'm not thinking about you, because Nirvana means you are in a state where you do not think about anything. That's all I knew. So I'm like, what am I going to speak? I got so carried away by Sayujya Mukti or this merging or Nirvana that I forgot to prepare for the second half. So here's what I found out, but I did prepare later. So we know that Prabhupada defines that these Buddhist people, they talk about Nirvana. What is this Nirvana? He defines Nirvana as a state to which all Buddhists aspire. It is the cessation of desire, hence the end of all suffering. Now the world statistic says 6% or 7% people in the world are Buddhist. So what they believe in is that after this, you have no pain, and you just go in this one state. Prabhupada defines this, elaborates more on this. So first, we are living in Devi Dham, which is material world. So we are conditioned souls, we are suffering because we are living in Devi Dham. After we cross Devi Dham, it's Mahesh Dham. And Prabhupada says that this Buddhist Nirvana means going to Mahesh Dham. And he gives one analogy. Let's say a person has fever and he's suffering. Now his fever subsides, takes medicine, his fever is gone away. Then what happens is he just doesn't have fever. He's not healthy, but he doesn't have fever. That state is Nirvana, Prabhupada writes. This is going to Mahesh Dham, Buddhist Nirvana. And he says, but that's not all you need. You need to get back to healthy state so you can work. And that is service. You know, that is going to Haridham, he says. So simply no more fever is not good. The real constitutional life, a spirit soul, is manifested, that is bhakti mark, by bhakti mark. So you can actually serve. Work means to serve. And there he gives one shlok. Jagala Lakshmi Rakhi Rahe Yaha Maya Dasi Devi Dhamma Namatara Jiva Yara Vasi Aitina Dhamme Rahaya Krishna Adishwara Goloka Paravyama Prakritira Para. So again, Devi Dham is mentioned there. First is Devi Dham. Yaha Jiva Yara Vasi. You know, we conditioned souls, Nitya Baddhas, live here. And Aitina Dhamme Rahaya Krishna Adishwara. So Devi doesn't matter. Devi Dham, Mahesh Dham, or Hari Dham. Krishna is still the Adishwar. Goloka Paravyama Prakritira Para. And Goloka Dham is beyond this Prakriti. And at that time, he also says that when a conditioned soul's material existence is finished, Their spiritual development is not started. That's still in the Mahesh Dham. That's where Buddhist Nirvana people go. Again, he strikes this point. Now, there's another very interesting purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3.33, where it talks about Kapila Dev and Devahuti. Prabhupada elaborates in text 30. Maitreya Rishi is speaking with Vidura Muni there, and he says, "My dear Vidura, by following the principles instructed by Kapila, Devahuti soon became liberated from material bondage, and she achieved the Supreme Personality of Godhead without difficulty." And then Prabhupada says something very interesting. He says there are various Vaikuntha planets, and Nirvana means going to spiritual kingdom, and he says that is Brahma Nirvana. Where Devahuti went is Brahma Nirvana. It is to be understood that Devahuti entered the planet which is called Kapila Vaikuntha, and she was promoted to meet Kapila and reside there eternally, enjoying the company of her transcendental son. So these are two types of Nirvana Prabhupada speaks about. One is just Buddhist Nirvana, other is Brahma Nirvana, and this is example given is Kapila and Devahuti. So let's say you're going back to Godhead, you know, sometime we all will, probably, hopefully. And you know, you pass this Devi Dham, then you will see Mahesh Dham, and slowly we'll go past the Vaikuntha planets, we'll see Kapila Vaikuntha, etc., maybe. And then our goal of life comes. But the biggest obstacle is Sayujya Mukti. You know, it's to know Krishna, but feeling that, know Hari, we know that who is Hari, but get into the trap that we want to merge into Brahman effulgence. We want to merge into the body of Krishna. Now, Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati says in Chaitanya Chandramrita, there's a book called Chaitanya Chandramrita, in which our revered Acharya says, Kaivalyam Narakayate, Tridashapura Akasha Pushpayate. Please listen carefully. Kaivalyam Narakayate. This Sayujya Mukti is worse than hell. Tridashapura, three lokas are there, three kinds of entities live there: Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, demigods. Akasha Pushpayate, in the sky, if there is a flower, what's the use? So they live in the sky, or like for us, they live up elevated. But what's the use? It's like you can't use that flower. Their happiness is, what's the use of it? Durdantendriya Kalasarpa. You know, Kalasarpa is the time, personified as a snake. And his danta, his fangs, have poison. And it says that Durdantendriya Kalasarpa Patali Proktaha Damstrayate Vidhi Mahendra Dadis Cha Kitayate Vishwam Purnam Sukhayate. So if the Kalasarpa has fangs, he will poison you completely. If you come in his grip, he'll poison you completely. But this is a very beautiful, that's why it's called Chaitanya Chandramrita. Nectar. He says, Yat Karunya Kataksha, the merciful glance, Vaibhava Vatam Gauram Eva Stumaha. As soon as you get a glance of Lord Gauranga, you know, then you, all these desires, like they are like poison, they are like a, you know, worse kind of poison. They go away because it's like taking away the poison from the Kala Sarpa, from his fangs. If the snake in his fangs has no poison, then you know he cannot harm you. And then in Mukunda Mala Stotra, it is written that I would rather go in Kumbhi Park than to be thinking about this Sayujya Mukti. You know, people crave about liberation, people dream about liberation. Some people, I have seen that this with my own eyes. Just recently, as February, I was in India. One of my relatives, she was taking something called santhara. In Jainism, when a person gets old and they want to leave their body, they go this, they follow this path. They can not eat for many, many days. She did not eat for 80 days. This is true. I have seen with my own eyes just in this February. And she, all she was saying every day, she wouldn't let anybody help serve her. I want moksha. I want moksha. I want moksha. Now, I'm sure she has taken prasadam with us sometimes. So hopefully she doesn't go to moksha, that moksha. But this is like addiction. This is their obsession that they want moksha. That is this greatest stage. And people were coming and taking her darshan, and they were just, it was talk of the town in all this Jain community that I'm part of back home. Oh, she was so glorious. Oh, she didn't become dependent on anybody. She was really, you know, focused her mind. So this liberation is really bad. And in Mukunda Mala Stotra, Prabhupada says, this is not what we want. We want the glance of Lord Chaitanya. Pure devotees like King Kulashekhara are particularly careful to avoid a process that will end in their becoming one with the existence of the Lord. A state known as Adwandva. Again, the state is known as Adwandva, non-duality. This is simply spiritual suicide. Out of all five kinds of salvation, Adwandva is the most abominable. And then we know about the five types of liberation: Salokya, Samipya, Sarupya, Sarshti. And the first one, which is Salokya, Samipya, Sarupya, Sarshti. And the first one, which we are speaking about, Sayucha, which we definitely don't want. Prabhupada said, at least these last four, they are not really desirable, but they are not so undesirable, because they can be avenues of service to the Lord. At least they can be used, you know. Nonetheless, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna rejects even these types of liberation. He aspires only to serve Krishna birth after birth. He is not very interested in stopping the repetition of birth, you know, but he simply desires to serve the Lord. Now, the Sayuja Mukti means merging into the effulgence of Lord. There are two types of Sayuja Mukti. One is merging into the effulgence of the Lord, and other is merging into the body of the Lord, and that other is even more abominable. And Prabhupada says, Sayuja Mukti one could get is due to an offense committed against the transcendental loving service of the Lord. It could be the merging is due to an offense committed against the transcendental loving service of the Lord. I thought that was a very important point. And Girira Swami tells this very simply. You know, Prabhupada and he were talking, and Girira Swami said, Prabhupada, I want to become God, right? Prabhupada said, God is always God. You know, Krishna is God. He never was not God, and he became God, right? In the Bhagavad Gita, he was God. While he was speaking Bhagavad Gita, he was God. He's always God. He never has to become God. If you can become godly, but you cannot become God. And then he said very simply, God is within you. He's in your heart. But if you want to become God, why should God help you become his competition? So simple, right? You can give big philosophy, but you can be so simple. Radhana Swami once met one person, and he was crying when he would see deity of Lord. He used to always say Ram, 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 Ram. He was praying obeisances to Lord Ram repeatedly. He used to live in Mithila. He used to think about Lord Ram. He used to speak about Lord Ram all the time. Ram, 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 Ram. And one time he said, "Can I reveal my heart?" And Maharaj said, "If you think I'm worthy." And he goes, "You know why I chant names of Ram?" And wow, some esoteric truth secret is coming out. What is it? What is it? And he goes, "Because I want to become Ram. And Maharaj was so shocked. He said, let's wash our hands. And he went to wash his hands. Maharaj ran away as fast as he could. So this is this is merging business. We don't want this merging. We emerge out of it as fast as we can. So now this merging business, this is theoretical knowledge, and it's okay. But Krishna really gave me like a powerful dose when I was trying to prepare. You know, this in the night on Saturday, 10 a.m., I give a class to my Indian friends. We kind of read together. We all did civil engineering together 25 years ago in India. 14 people joined. Now, you have heard about 100 types of Gitas, right? They were all Mayavadis. It seems like they are all pandits in those Gitas, or at least they were. We started this group 3 years ago. At least they got Bhagavad Gita 3 years ago. But they ask so many questions. They take so many objections. Some of them are Art of Living followers. Some of them are Sadguru followers. Some of them, they know this Vaisheshika philosophy. They know Mahabharata. They know. They just know so much. It's amazing. You just get really bewildered. And some of them have no demigod biography. One person know Mahabharata in detail. And they speak so coolly. And you know, my weakness is I get emotional. You know, no, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you know, they just like, no, that's an offense. How can you say that Shiva and Brahma are demigods, you know? They sometimes say that, oh, this ISKCON is pushy. And sometimes they say that, bhakto si me sakha cheti, right? The 4.3 verse. They will say, yes, Krishna's bhakta and sakha is Arjuna. But then as you go in the 18th chapter, he becomes jnani. Krishna says, okay, now you can do anything you want. And you know, just the way they put the twists and turns on Bhagavad Gita. You're just mesmerized. I just look forward to chanting with them. All of them chant one round at the end. And that's the solace. And I pray to Krishna each time we have that reading. And it's very difficult hour. It's like my patience is ended at the day. And but Krishna keeps me humble and keeps me close to the philosophy. I read philosophy more scrutinizingly so I can defend it. You know, one example I came across was Prabhupada talking with Mr. Patel. And he spoke about this Bhagavad Gita 9.29. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshosti na priyaha ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya mai te teshu chapyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend. He is in me. Please note, he is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Now, some Bhagavad Gita say he's in me and I'm in him. Okay? Prabhupada says he's a friend to him. Now, Dr. Patel was saying, you know, they are in me and I'm in them. That means this merging is the business, you know. This is the final verdict of Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada simply laughed as soon as he said that, you know, this is because you want to get Gyan at the end of Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada simply laughed and he said, and it's really funny what he said. He said, okay. And then Dr. Patel continued. He said, I mean, Narsi Mehta, Mirabai, they all merged into Lord. And Prabhupada says, you know, so this is his answer, Prabhupada's answer. You can hear it on morning walk. He said, some people learn slowly and never forget. And some people learn fast and forget. Dr. Patel is the slow learner. And that's all he said. Dr. Patel is a slow learner. He did not defend the philosophy. He did not try to teach the philosophy. Dr. Patel still pushed and pushed. And then Prabhupada said, you know, it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, tad vidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Pariprashna is required. You are asking questions. That is very good. But after surrender, after pranipat. So he's indirectly said, you must surrender. Now, how do we surrender? One of the Navvida bhaktis is Smaranam. And then Kamsa used to also think about Lord Krishna eating, sleeping, every time he used to walking. Krishna only thought about, Kamsa only thought about Krishna, but unfavorably. So that unfavorably, when we somebody thinks of Krishna, that is Dantavakra, Shishupal, Kamsa, and a few others, they merge into the body of Krishna. That is the other, second kind of Sahajya Mukti. And Prabhupada draws a very important analogy. He says, these today's scientists, they want to create a life by combination of chemicals. And such scientists do not like the idea that life is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. They pray to God for their discovery to be successful, but they want to prove that there is no God. So Prabhupada says those scientists are like Kamsa, and they would merge back, Prabhupada says. And then, then I came across all this mukti business and everything, the main part of this Bhagavatam Shloka, which is reading the scriptures so that we can start our devotional service, or we can perfect our devotional service. So I want to tell you, I heard a very, very nice class of Amarendra Prabhu. He talks about what is the good kind of merging. It's merging in the thoughts of Krishna lovingly. And he says, one time, Radharani was angry at Krishna. We just read about Kamsa being angry at Krishna, but now Radharani is angry at Krishna. So she's trying to think Krishna unfavorably. So she looks at the mala tree and she thinks about Krishna. So she goes to Sakis and tells, go paint all these tamala trees white. You know, I don't want to look at them. And while she's saying this, she looks at gopis. And she says, oh, shave off your head. I don't want to see any black hair. And then there's a mirror there. And she looks at that mirror and she sees her own black hair. And she throws a stone at it. And the mirror breaks into 1,000 pieces. And then it said that, you know, Krishna is so awesome. You can love me, you can hate me, but you can't ignore me. As because she sees 1,000 pieces, she definitely cannot ignore Krishna. And this is Radharani's state, that she is thinking so much favorably of Krishna that it's impossible for her to think unfavorably. No matter what. In Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada writes about this. He says, now he refers to Vidagdha Madhava, in which second act, verse 29, Purnamasi tells Nandimukhi, just see how wonderful it is. Great sages meditate upon Krishna after being relieved from all material transactions. And with great difficulty, they try to situate Krishna in their hearts. And as opposed to this, this young girl is trying to withdraw her mind from Krishna so she can apply it in material activities. What a regrettable thing it is that this girl is trying to drive away from her heart the same Krishna who is sought after by great sages through severe austerities and perseverance. Of course, this is conjugal love, these are the mellows, this is spoken just to increase the rasa. But the Prabhupada makes one point. Conjugal love is so elevated. This, Krishna, our love for Krishna is so elevated that just by hearing this pastime where Radharani is trying to forget Krishna, it purifies our heart. It increases our desire to serve the divine couple. Shri Radhe Shyam ki jai. There's another superb class that Amarendra Prabhu gives. There are five people. Two are pandits. One is Vishayi. One is a Mahabharata expert, pandit. And there's another fifth person. He is a demigod worshipper. So they ask, what is the source of nectar? They are discussing, what is the source of nectar? So please listen carefully. Avadhav, which means ocean, because churning of the ocean took place. Vidhav, which means moon. Because Somarasa is there, right? Nectar source is there, and the residents of moon drink Somarasa. So Avadho, which means ocean, Vidho, which means moon, Avadho, Vidho, and then this is very, very sweet. Vadhumukhe means a new bride's face. Vadhumukhe is the new bride's face, source of nectar, because that's what a husband about to get married thinks. Fourth is Fani Nivase. When Bhima was given poison by Duryodhana, he went to the Sarpaloka. And that's where the poison was given by the Sarpaloka people, which acted as a nectar, because that poison neutralized the poison given by Duryodhana. Or is it the demigods? Swarge Sudhavasati Cheti Buddha. Swarge Sudha Vasati means in the heavenly planet, Sudha is a nectar. Vasati Cheti Buddha. When the Pandit said, or is it in the demigods planet, because they drank all the nectar. What is the source of nectar? Is it ocean, churning of the ocean? Is it Fani Mukhe, snakes? Is it Vidho? Is it the moon, because Somarasa is there? What is it? You know, is it the bride's face, because the husband is so attracted to it and feels rejuvenated? Or is it the demigod's planet? Okay, and now here is a very nice sentence. Ksharam. Ksharam, kshara, comes from salt. The salt is, the ocean cannot be source of nectar because it's salty, right? Ksharam. Kshayam, which means moon, it decays, right? The moon goes waxing and waning, so that cannot be source of nectar. Pati Mrutam, even that new husband eventually dies, so he cannot be the Vadhumukham cannot be the source of nectar, which is what Vishayi person thinks. Garalam Patantam, Garalam, if the snake had nectar, he would not also carry poison with him. Patantam. Patantam means demigods also fall down, so it cannot be the source of nectar. But then what is the source of nectar? Kanthe Sudhavasati Vai Bhagavat Jananam. Kanthe Sudhavasati, the speaker who is speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam, his kantha is the source of nectar. Amrendra Prabhu, he's speaking that. So you can really imagine, you know, you can feel that, how Bhagavat speaker like Amrendra Prabhu, like Srila Prabhupada, they are the source of nectar. And this is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam, like Prabhupada said in this purport. If you want to come out of this Nirodha stage, of this Sayujya Mukti, Bhagavatam, reading the scriptures, glorifying the devotees, serving the devotees is the answer. And why Bhagavatam? Because Krishna Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Jnana Dibihi Saha. After Krishna went, he left his literally incarnation behind. Also it says that Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam Uttam Shloka Charitam Chakora Chakara Bhagavan Rishihi. And that shloka continues, but the Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as sun. And it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode. So these are some of my thoughts before I come to request you for your realizations. I want to tell you a couple of small things. And I really appreciate your feedback, your questions so much. They are the best part of any Bhagavatam class. It says that Prabhupada asked only one question to his spiritual master. Only one question. And that was, how can I serve you? Right? So this service is the beginning, when we can actually read the books in the right state of mind. And what was his service? To write Srimad Bhagavatam, to translate all these books in English language. Second thing is, I wanted to say is that recently I was at Sadhu Sangha, and His Holiness Jayapataka Swami gave such a nice class. You must hear it. He says, when we hear Gaura Katha, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the love of Gauranga must rise in our heart. And he kept on saying, Gauranga, and the whole of Sadhu Sangha, 3,000 people kept on saying Gauranga, and it was so powerful. If I'm passing away, I want to hear, that would be one of the classes I want to hear. It is so amazing. Please listen to it. And these kind of like, you know, this is Bhagavatam in life, in action. And of course, third is all of you like brilliant devotees, the person Bhagavatam. My humble obeisances to you. Again, thank you for listening. Trinadapi Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. And you'll really display the quality of Trinadapi Shunichena Tarorapi Sahishnunam Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. And that's why I dare to speak in front of you. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Would you like to say any reflections? Thank you.
Can you read back the verse, please?
Which verse? Oh, yeah, sure. Nirodho syanushayanam atmanaha sa shakti bhi muktir hitvanyatha rupam swarupena vyavastitihi.
The English translation.
Oh, English translation. The merging of the living entity along with his conditional living tendency with the misting lying down of Mahavishnu is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. Liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross and subtle material bodies.
So I was thinking the living entities when the planet is annihilated, then all the living entities merge into Mahavishnu's body.
Yeah, who have not achieved liberation or right. Jivan Mukta.
And when the universe ends,
yeah.
When the universe is destroyed, then also they merge into the body of Mahavishnu.
Yeah, cosmic manifestation and universe, both times, yes. Entire cosmic manifestation, yes.
But the other liberation.
Samipya Salokya, is that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Those the living entities they go through different. So my question was, what is the reason or why the living entities want to go into these different forms of liberation? Why? Why they are so attracted to these?
You know, you asked my question too. I can just observe and I can share your observations, but please don't quote me. In the sense, I have not read bona fide answer than what I just read by Prabhupada. Is at least there is some sort of service there. So Jaya and Vijaya, they have some service there. So they would rather, you know, it's their eternal service to Lord Vishnu. So it's their eternal, if it is their eternal service, then that's what they do, is what I understand. My other thought is, and please correct me if I'm wrong or what you think about it, let me know, is that, you know, Krishna says 7 generations are liberated for a devotee, like Prahlad Maharaj, when he prayed, he said 21 generations are liberated. So probably that's what happens to those folks who were related, but they didn't do devotional service? You tell me if I'm wrong. Yeah. I don't know.
I was thinking, even like when you were talking about the Buddhists, really, they go to one form of liberation also.
Mahesh Dham. So, Prabhupada says Mahesh Dham. And if you look at Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, when Lord Chaitanya goes to meet that Buddhist, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very big purport. He elaborates what is Buddha Dharma. And it's very interesting. He says, Buddhas believe that there is no creator because creation has always been there. If creation has always been there, then how can there be a creator who created creation before, you know? That's not possible. This is their logic. And he gives a lot of detailed explanation about what is Buddhist. And Prabhupada says, we must read this so that we can defend our philosophy, we can defend our stand. There are 9 main points of Buddhism there. If you want, I can read it. I have read those. And I have it here. So that is, and Prabhupada again says, they go to Mahesh Dham, where there is no service, devotional, there is no devotional service. Does that answer your question? Do you think what I said is right?
Yeah, to some extent. But After some time, the Buddhists become bored, and then they have to come back to existence again.
Yeah, they come from Maheshtham, according to Prabhupada, or what we read so far in from the scriptures, they come from Maheshtham back to Devidham. They never even enter Haridham. They don't even go to effulgence of Lord Krishna.
Well, if somehow they get like the blessings of the devotees.
Like Lord Chaitanya, when he went to that Buddhist guru, you know, a bird came and he attacked the Buddhist guru. He fell down unconscious. And then Lord Chaitanya gave the mantra to all the Buddhist disciples of that Buddhist guru. He gave the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And as he slowly came back to consciousness, he was hearing that Maha Mantra again and again and again and again. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that his disciples initiated him into Hare Krishna Mantra. Does that help? It's in Madhya Leela 9th chapter.
Yeah, that makes some sense.
Thank you. Thank you for a nice question. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you very much for the class, Mataji. My question is, so this state of liberation, the Buddhist state of liberation, the first one that you mentioned, they sometimes come and they take birth again. Is this also true for those that merge with the Lord, Vishnu, or any other form of the Lord?
Yeah, we see that. Dantavakra, Shishupal, Kamsa, you know, they all came back.
Is it to be understood then that the pure devotees take birth to give liberation to these entities?
I think so. You think so too?
I think, I don't know conclusively. I had one other question. So there's Nitya Bada and Nitya
Mukta. Yeah.
Once Nitya Bada obtains his spiritual body,
yeah,
does he continue being Nitya Bada, or is he now considered eternally liberated? Like once you make it to the topmost, right? Goloka Vrindavan, once you've reached the final abode, is there still a chance to reverting, or do you still have that propensity to potentially, you know, want to come back into contact with material nature? It doesn't make sense to me. Like, if you obtain the highest flavor that there could ever be there, you know, why would you ever want?
Just like Prabhupada came from the spiritual world, you would have gone to come.
For that reason, it's reasonable,
yes,
right?
Yes,
like,
yeah.
And I heard from Gaura Govinda Maharaj that, how do you say, Krishna can send devotees, and the devotees can also decide to come out of desire to serve Prabhupada, serve Krishna.
Yeah.
So then my question is that, does that mean that we become Nitya Mukta then? Because
they will still remain Nitya Mukta. Once a Nitya Mukta, he always stays Nitya Mukta.
Say that one more time, I'm sorry.
Once a Nitya Mukta, he always stays Nitya Mukta.
But is that what happens? We become Nitya Mukta, or are we always Nitya Bada? That's the question.
Lord Krishna says, when one reaches the Zabu, he does not come back to the sun.
This is what I heard, but
So then that would imply that he becomes like a Nitya Mukta.
This is what I understood as well.
That's the thing.
Can I tell you one more?
I read somewhere that stated that the chances of misusing one's independence again may occur, you know, but that's a very, very rare, you know.
Right.
Usually, once you reach Krishna's abode, then you're set there.
Let me tell you one shloka, very interesting shloka. I'm just adding to it, to what you two said. Iha yasya harir dasya karmana manasa gira nikhilashu api avasthashu jivan mukta sa uchyate. Once we start reading Srimad Bhagavatam and once we start applying ourselves in the service of the Lord, he will always be liberated in any condition. Such a person is called Jivan Mukta. So that's another aspect, or maybe a viewpoint. One who is liberated during this lifetime.
Thank you very much, Mataji. It's just interesting that this is a subject matter, because a few days ago I was having this very discussion with some devotees, and Krishna is so kind that you did very nice research and we were able to discuss. So thank you.
Thank you. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya's dialogue, it's worth reading. I have it, but time is, it's almost 9 p.m. Any other thoughts, comments, suggestions, questions? correction. He has one question.
I forgot what I was going to ask. Now, you're speaking about the individuals in relation to, you know, what you were saying. And what happens is, why do people desire, like you were saying, they were desiring liberation? And Prabhupada really simplified it. You know, he said that because of our relationships are so miserable, there's so much, instead of pleasure, we feel so much pain in relationships. So what they try to do is eliminate the relationships. So when you tell them that you can have a relationship with Krishna, they think it's going to be the same as what they've been experiencing life after life after life. So they want to eliminate that. And that's where that desire comes from. That's one of the, why they desire that. And then I have another, I have a question is, these individuals also read, I mean, they read, they study, they know the scripture. How is it that somebody simple can understand, you know, the essence of the Vedas, yet they study it, and then they cannot understand it. They want liberation where it's explained real nicely and simply, and Prabhupada really simplifies it for us. So how is it that, you know, they read the same scriptures that we do, but yet they're bewildered?
Thank you. Thank you. Very nice point. First, let me reflect on your first thought, which was, which I recently heard. We all have a shape of Krishna-shaped hole in our heart. It's the shape of Krishna. We try to fill it with cars, money, you know, some material things, some houses, palaces, women, the opposite sex, everything. It never gets filled because the shape of the hole is Krishna-shaped and there's nothing else that comes close to it. So that's one, my first thought on your very nice comment, reflection on that. Now, regarding your question, Prabhupada answers it here. That is sure. Prabhupada says, if his man is intelligent, he will understand. And then, even if he touches the book, next life he will understand. Next life he may have that intelligence. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much. It sounds to me that you need the mercy of a devotee, like Srila Prabhupada.
You put it so right. Perfect.
In order to make that advancement, unless you get that, all you're doing is just juggling words around and studying and getting... Not getting the essence of it. Did I understand that?
You said it perfectly. And I just want to add one minute thing. I was recently in Tampa 4 weeks ago in April. I met this very nice person, gave him he already had Bhagavatam. He had gotten it for free, last Bhadra Purnima. Somebody got it, they didn't want it. He got from them. He started chanting, last Bhadra. And then I met him in April. He has a nice association, nice Tampa Devotee Association. I gave him Journey Home. And he started crying while reading Journey Home, okay? And then he made a very nice donation, his make pledge for DOVP. And then he came to Alachua, looking at the beauty of the temple, you know, some other things, classes, dancing. He's like, Mataji, I want to increase the pledge. I'm like, wow, that's nice. You know, do it. You know, Krishna is inspiring you to donate. That's great. Then I said, oh, why don't you... I remembered that part. Then 2-3 weeks later, I called. I said, Oh, actually, the book really inspired you, right? You have Srimad Bhagavatam, that really inspired you. Why don't you donate one Srimad Bhagavatam to somebody? Bhadra Purnima is coming, our goal is 55,000 sets, so why don't you distribute one? But he hasn't started reading it, so he was very hesitant. Then I said, well, how about Journey Home, you know? He said, yes, I go to this reading group, I'm going to buy one copy for everybody. He bought it, he sent me a receipt, and 10, you know, all of a sudden he's a book distributor. Devotional service is so easy and simple, and like Prabhupada said, if all those 10 people get book, their devotional service is started, and next they're going to get Bhagavad Gita, and next they will also get Bhagavatams, you know? It's so simple and easy and sublime. Sukhada, all auspicious. So, thank you so very much for listening kindly. Hare Krishna, Vanchakalpatar Bhyasya, Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha, Patita Naam Pavanebhyo. Sorry, I went over time.